Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy. Recording is 1:42 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time. And today is January 14th. Well, one thing that really grabbed my attention today was the fact that you had some very sensational headlines, but not a great deal of activity in the markets. You can see, for example, that the Chinese market has gone nowhere for the last four sessions. And that's also something that we've seen, for example, with the S&P 500. It hasn't really gone anywhere for the last four sessions, although it was in mildly negative territory in here today. But one thing they both share is that they're at a potential area of resistance, and the fact that we have a pause is confirming that this is certainly a period of time where people are starting to have a pause in consolidation and to think about what happens next. There's been a very impressive rebound since December 26th, and now the big question is how much further is it going to go, and whether it represents a medium-term low or a near-term low. And we're not going to really have an answer for that question until we see a higher reaction low that holds, and we haven't yet seen that. We also need to see that the sequence of lower rally highs is broken. But obviously, by the time that happens, the market is going to be well off its lows. The next thing we would need to see is that it sustains a move back above the trend mean. But it at least needs to put in a higher reaction low and then a higher high, and then to hold those if we're to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. This is still very much a corrective phase, and the corrective phase has been ongoing now for a year. Well, if this is a medium-term correction, then we should start to see it putting in some support reasonably soon. One point that I think is worth mentioning is that we are now heading into, well, we are in the third year of the presidential cycle, and the Federal Reserve is back to doing what it normally does, which is to tighten in the first couple of years and then to loosen moving through into the second half of the third year, so that that gives some impetus to the incumbent to try and win the election. So that didn't work in 2008, but it worked reasonably well in 2012, and potentially, well, generally speaking, what we anticipate from the presidential cycle is that you get a meaningful correction in the first half of the third year of the presidential cycle, and then a very meaningful rebound in the second half of the year. And I think that's something that we need to have in the back of our minds as we head into 2019. So I think that's one of the more important things to consider in here today. The second is that there has been a very meaningful rebound in natural gas prices. And against a background of a very deep oversold condition, now we're seeing a very clear upward dynamic, and that is a low of at least near-term significance. One of the features of this market going into the winter season was that we have historically low inventories. So this is a, I think the big move that we had at the end of last year was reflecting just how tight the market is against a background when we do get cold weather. Well, the fact that we had abnormally warm weather brought prices all the way back down, but cold weather now starting to move back in is starting to push prices back up again. I think we're going to be in for a very choppy environment for natural gas prices going forward. And I think the third really noteworthy thing that we've seen happen today is the continued pace of M&A activity in the gold sector. So Newmont Mining has bought Goldcorp, but both shares were in negative territory in here today. Newmont was down 10%. And Goldcorp, having popped on the upside, finished at the lower side of its trading range. Well, what that suggests is that investors are concluding that shareholders are not getting particularly good value here. So that's certainly something that is perhaps weighing on the sector. But gold remains really quite steady. And generally speaking, mines tend to consolidate at the lows, and they tend to invest heavily in expansion at the peaks. Well, we certainly saw the expansion at the peak back in 2011, and the fact that Barrick has acquired Randgold Resources and Newmont is acquiring Goldcorp. Well, these are major pieces of M&A activity in the gold mining sector. It suggests that we are getting some rationalization, that there is an attempt to try and clean up the balance sheets. That could potentially be not great news for shareholders in the short term, but as long as gold prices remain reasonably steady, it should be beneficial for shareholders over the medium to longer term. And gold is continuing to push higher within this 3-year range. So, as long as that remains the case, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to higher to lateral ranging. I think the most likely scenario is that it is going to get back up towards the upper side of this range. Well, that was, I think, I think, primary piece of information here is that despite the fact that there were headlines left and right saying that the dollar had declined, the dollar index was pretty much unchanged in here today. Where we do have some action is in the pound, and the pound has been rallying since the beginning of the year. It's bounced again from this 125 area, and it's now approaching the region of the trend mean. So this is the point at which some questions are going to be asked about the ability of the dollar to continue to rally against it. But what is or at least has been confirmed is that the pound is bouncing from around this 110 area. It's also testing its trend mean right now as well. So obviously in the UK we are going to have the vote or on Theresa May's deal tomorrow. It's l still looking quite likely that it's going to be defeated. Quite whether her government is going to be able to survive that event also remains to be seen. The DUP from Northern Ireland are almost certainly going to vote against it, but whether they will then turn around and continue to support her government remains a bit of a wild card. Well, the FTSE 100 has been trending down since May, and it paused in the region of 7,000 in here on Friday and followed through on the downside in here today. Well, there does look like some continued potential for downward pressure, most particularly if the pound continues to rally. If we simply look at the chart, we can see very clearly that immediately after the Brexit vote and the devaluation of the pound, the stock market went up very sharply. So if the pound continues to rally, then that does represent a headwind for the market. But from the perspective of the FTSE, 7,000 is an awfully big psychological level, considering it represents the upper side of what is effectively a 17-year base formation. So then people are probably going to start looking at this sequence of higher reaction lows since 2009, and then 6,000 becomes the next area of potential support. So it really is all to play for in terms of what exactly we can anticipate from the UK. I really think that regardless of what happens, there's going to be an awful lot of people are going to be disappointed and disillusioned with the political process, and that is a significant challenge. Hopefully, the one lesson, excuse me, that the political class has learned from this is that there is at least half the people in the country are deeply unsatisfied with their lot in life, and that is something that requires a rather urgent remedial care, but it's not something that can be solved easily. When we look at the high yield sector, again in here we've had a very significant rally. It's now at the area of the first potential region of resistance. So high yield prices were in mildly negative territory in here today, but not in a particularly dynamic fashion. So this doesn't look like anything other than a pause right now. That doesn't preclude the potential that we will have a somewhat more volatile environment later, but the VIX index has contracted pretty steadily since the 26th of December, and it's unwound just about all of the advance that we'd seen prior to that. The big question is whether it could possibly sustain a move below 15. I rather think that's unlikely. I think that we've had a very impressive rally, and that this pause that we've had with very inert trading is out of character with what we've seen previously. Well, there is an additional point here that government bond yields, when we look at, for example, the 10-year Treasury, have steadied up, and there is an awful lot of additional supply that is coming to market this year. That's from new issuance as well as refinancing. Then you have the fact that Treasury bonds mature on the 15th of the month and on the 30th. Well, tomorrow's the 15th, and the next round of treasuries is in the runoff campaign that the Fed is running, are going to mature tomorrow. So that is perhaps something that could influence markets. Generally speaking, if we look back at the influence that this runoff has had on the stock market, it's generally tended to price it in. Well, one interesting thing that I saw in here today is the Morgan Stanley's implied pace of rate hikes measure, and it's gone negative over the course of December. So initially, the market was willing to give the Fed's prognostications the benefit of the doubt, and they believed that the Fed would continue to raise interest rates, and that has been completely priced out of the market since December. Now they're pricing in absolutely no potential for a rate hike in 2019, and potentially, well, they're pricing in one rate cut in 2020. But if we look at some more history for this index, well, we can see that this measure went negative back in the middle of 2006. And then it progressed downwards. Well, we can also see that it was towards the end of 2007 that the market had been pricing in the potential for significant rate cuts. So this is potentially a lead indicator for trouble in the market. And now the big question is the extent to which it's capable of rallying. So this is, I think, something to monitor, and I'll be adding it to the chart library. Well, what happens in terms of the 10-year Treasury when it gets back up towards the region of the trend mean is going to be an equally important arbiter of sentiment, as we're seeing with the S&P 500 at 2,600 points or the Dow Jones at 24,000 points. Then when we look at the outlook for the European markets, well, they're beset with uncertainty, and the next speech by Mario Draghi is in the next few days. The rate decision by the ECB is not long afterwards, and it's extraordinarily unlikely that the ECB is going to be raising interest rates. We're going to find out in the next few days whether Germany is in fact in a recession. German government spending is due to trend higher in a meaningful fashion over the next few years. So they may not completely erode their surpluses, but they're certainly going to cut into them. And that additional spending is the equivalent in Germany of a fiscal stimulus. It's simply not it's not going to be framed as deficit spending, whereas France is most certainly going to be engaged in definite deficit spending, and so is Italy. And of course, if Germany is stimulating and in a recession, well, then that is going to at least enhance appetite for additional monetary easing measures in Europe. So we certainly have the potential for sources of new liquidity to come into the market, but they're not readily apparent just yet. Then the yen has continued to advance, and the Nikkei was in positive territory in here today, but the rebound that it's had has not been nearly as impressive as we've seen with other indices. It still has really quite a wide overextension relative to the trend mean, and the rally has largely been contained by the extent to which the yen has been rallying over the course of the last 6 weeks. Well, we had the flash rally in the yen at the beginning of the year, and that is likely to represent a significant peak for the yen, but it wouldn't be beyond the bounds of possibility that peak is retested. So I think there is the scope here for some additional consolidation in stock markets and indeed in the high yield markets. We're certainly seeing some of the biggest value investors starting to salivate at some of the valuations that are out there, but perhaps not in the FANGs, but rather in some of the more distressed areas of the market, like General Electric, for example. Whereas PG&E is, and this I think is one of the more interesting pieces of the corporate bond market. If we look at, for example, the most liquid of PG&E's debt. And I don't think I've got it's not saying it has any bonds. That can't possibly be the case. So let me find a different part of it. I was looking at their bonds relatively recently, and they were trading at a position that was, I found, rather interesting, that the yield is in the order of about 7 or 8%. Well, we can see the extent to which we've had a very big move in the daily chart of the loans, but it's only in the order of a couple of percent. Whereas General Electric unsecured debt is trading in the order of 15%. Well, that's, I think, an inconsistency in the market. The market is only beginning to price in the risk of a company that really could go bust, where its liabilities from the California fires greatly exceed its available capital, whereas General Electric is being priced as if it's going out of business, and that's looking really rather unlikely. So when value investors see these kinds of moves in markets, well, they're obviously going to get rather excited, because you don't get these kinds of bargains all the time. But when we look at the wider stock markets, we're at a very important juncture, that we've had a significant deterioration in terms of the trends that we've had. The consistency of the trends that was evident in 2017 has been completely broken, and now there is increasing evidence of completed top formation characteristics. And if those completed top formation characteristics are going to be negated, well, we're going to have to see higher reaction lows. We're going to have to see a sustained move back above the trend mean. And so far, the number of indices that have been able to do that is comparatively small. Where we do have evidence of that is in some of the emerging markets. And the Brazilian index was in positive territory again in here today. The Bovespa continues to move on to new all-time highs. The real continues to hold the majority of its gains. When we look at the Mexican peso, it's also been really quite firm. The big point question, I think, is whether it is going to be able to rally enough to break the dollar sequence of higher major reaction lows evident over the last year and a half. Then when we look at Indonesia, the Jakarta Composite has been able to sustain its move above the trend mean, and the Nifty index in India continues to range around the trend mean as well. So it's certainly within the emerging markets that we're starting to see some evidence of demand returning to dominance. Whereas I think a number of the developed markets are at very important junctures, and they need to, it really is for the bulls to demonstrate that they can continue to reassert dominance. The fact that US Treasuries are below their trend mean is continue or at least continues to represent demand for a safe haven, because against a background where there is an enormous amount of additional supply going to hit the market, there isn't a logical argument other than safe haven buying for why yields should be this low. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.